Actually, Roger, it's good for you guys. You can have some details here if you take your little train trip. But so the train was actually invented. The first steam engine locomotive was invented in England in 1804. That's when it was the first steam engine locomotive. And in 1827, the first railroad in America, the Baltimore, Ohio structure, was kind of taking place. So it started in America in 1827. And then in 1832, the longest running railroad, which is, does anyone know what that might be? It's in, not Reading. Stroudsburg Railroad, right? It's the longest existing railroad existing. Longest existing. Yeah, Stroudsburg Railroad. So, that started in 1832, but then in 1850, the rails, pushed westward. Obviously, a lot was going on in the west with the gold and agriculture. That was like the big one, because then they could bring all this grain and everything back to the East Coast. But then it also standardized, which I didn't know. I thought this was a really interesting detail. In 1863, two things here. Roger, you can use this one. Or Karen, you can tell the kids on the thing. So in 1863, they standardized the rail. The locomotive is down the rail. And for years, they had different size rails. Well, this one might be 5-inch rail. This one might be 4-inch rail. This one might be whatever. So in 1863, so they could all use the same rail with the same wheels. They standardized that rail system. So it's actually 4 foot long by 8.5 inches. So it's high. And then they standardized the track. But then also in 1883, sorry, this has just interested me. You're probably like, Jeff, shut up already about these railroads. But 1883, railroads were the cause of standardizing the time zones. I didn't know if you knew that. I never knew that. So now that they could transport faster and people were now getting on trains in Chicago and further west, they had to standardize time zones, and that actually started with the railroad. And Congress passed a law, and they made the time zones in the United States. So, thought those were some interesting things, because today we're looking at a guy that was from the other side of the track. But thousands of years ago, there weren't tracks. So what do you call a train that can't stop sneezing? A choo-choo train. Choo-choo. Okay. How do you find a stolen train? You follow its tracks. Yeah, come on. Yeah, that's an easy one, right? And then don't take this one the wrong way, a train collector said he got a nice Lionel train. You know those Lionel trains? So he got this really nice Lionel train for his wife. He said it was the best trade he ever made. Now, of course, it could go reverse. Women, so no one's offended. There was a woman who said she got the nicest train ever for her husband, and it was the best trade she ever made. So anyway, that's what Jen would say. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we open up this morning. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for history and just all the stuff and happens and all the information that's out there and when things were invented and people's thinking and the ingenuity that people have and how things just kind of move, Lord. It's always so cool to see, and we all know that that's because you created us and you're a creator and you're how you've created the world and how you've created people just to be creative, Lord. And we thank you for that creativity that you put within us. Lord, help us to just concentrate on the history here of your word And also knowing that it's not just history, but it's current in our life, in our day, in our world right now, of our relationship with you and how we can work with others and speak to others. And speak to us this morning, Lord. Have your spirit to speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11, 32. So once again, we're in Hebrews. And we're going to read 32. We're going to be these through a couple verses for a couple weeks, the way it seems. We're going to start in verse 32, and then we're going to jump into, well, 32 to 38. It says this. And what more do not have time to talk about Gideon, which we talked about, Barak, who we talked about, Samson, who we talked about, Jephthah. That's who we're looking at today. This guy from the other side of the track. Jephthah. David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put into prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. That's the history of our faith, of our fathers, of our Christian fathers for so many generations. And that's what we're pulling out. So Jephthah today. Jephthah. When you read this, then this is all found in Judges on Jephthah. The story of Jephthah, a lot of times when we talk about the story of Jephthah, this is the man who went, and when he came out, he prayed to the Lord and said, if I win, the thing that walks out of my house, I will give as a sacrifice to the Lord, right? So a lot of the story we usually hear with Jephthah, and the story that we normally hear when preachers talk on this is it's about the vows we make, right? Don't make these sudden vows like to God, because like Jephthah, his daughter walked out and the first thing he saw was can you imagine that? You make a vow to God. And so, but we're not talking on that. We're looking specifically today on this guy's faith. Why is he in here? Why is he in Hebrews 11? Like when you read about this guy, Judges chapter 11 starts off, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. And then it goes on to talk about this man named Jephthah, who we find in Scripture and we find in Hebrews 11 for his faith, that he's called out for his faith. And you get into the story of Jephthah. Picture this. So here's this guy in this small, town that they live in, and he is the son of a prostitute, had other brothers, and as they would, and he was known as a great warrior. As he got older and the family got older, the older brothers were like, this isn't our brother. He's not going to get any inheritance from the old man. He's not going to get any inheritance from our dad. He was born from a prostitute. He's illegitimate. This does not count. Get him out of here. So the Israelites drove Jephthah out from his house, out from his town, out from his community that he grew up in. So number one is, how do you think the guy felt? Like, if I was driven out of my home, knowing that my family hated me, how do you think that would make you feel? A little angry? A little bitter? A little hatred towards your brothers? It's like, dude, you guys drove me out? Like, we played together. We jumped the grapes together to make wine. I mean, it's like we built the barn together. These guys grew up together, and then this greed that takes place here from these older brothers or younger brothers, whatever, just says the brothers, and they got them out. So Jephthah, we find, son of a prostitute, and Gilead, banished from where he lived, not just banished, but pushed out just because who he was. So you think there would be some bitterness there, some hatred, some anger. So as he leaves and he goes, scripture says that he's a mighty warrior. That's where we start. So where's the faith taking place now? As a mighty warrior now, so he leaves, and over time, scripture says in Judges 11, a couple verses down, that and he became this guy that's on the outskirts, and he had a band of men that followed him. And not just any men. He was, in scripture, it's great to go through the translations, right? In the NIV, it says, I had it here. Not adventures. What does yours say? Adventurers? Okay. Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob, where a group of adventurers. Okay, so NIV, the older NIV, the same as my version, adventurers. The newer NIV calls them like despicable men. The King James, the original King James, calls them vain men. The New King James calls them worthless men. So all these translations talk about these guys that followed Jephthah were worthless, vain men. And they had this gang of gang members. This was like, maybe, was this gang led by Jephthah? Find in Hebrews 11 for his faith. What's going on here? So here's, it's kind of like this. It's modern day. If we think modern day, do you ever hear of the gang called Maria Salvatrucha? Or do you ever hear of MS-13? So MS-13 started in the 80s in Los Angeles for these guys to protect their immigrant El Salvador immigrants so they wouldn't be overtaken by other gangs. Then MS-13 was this gang expanded kind of loosely. There's no like organization, but it's just all known as MS-13, and they became what? These gangs, these drug lords, these extortionists, these many times murderers, and they all these things in this gang. Could you think of maybe some of those guys might be called vain men or worthless men because they're not doing anything? They have a purpose-driven life. Their purpose is to rob, steal, and make money, and however they do it, they do. MS-13. That's the way it sounds here in Scripture. Jephthah was running a gang that these men, so here's this guy called out for his faith. Like, where is this going? And as we see, it kind of gets down to this. So Israel then was battling the Ammonites. And as they were battling, there's a kind of funny story there, but when I was in college in the 1980s, there was a song that came out by, who was it? Kenny Loggins. I'm not sure if you ever heard of Kenny Loggins. It was called I'm All Right. Right, and it's a song, I'm all right. So So when I was studying college and at the Amherst, that song I would always picture, I still do. I would remember it by going, Amherst. So that's what how I would, anyhow, you don't really care about that, but I thought that was, that's how I remembered the story of the Amherst, right? So, I still can't say. Amorites were attacking Israel, and we're still in Judges, and you know, this is the period of Judges where they would follow God, they have a judge, they would walk from God, and as they were going through, the Amorites now are attacking, and Israel, these men go back to Jephthah, and they said, Jephthah, we know, we kicked you out. So think about this. They kicked him out. They kicked him out of their community. He moved to this other place. He's this great warrior who's a gang leader. And Israel. The commander, scripture says. We need you as the commander. And he's, well, what happens if I win and I do this stuff? Aren't you guys just going to cast me back out? Why do you, like, and they're like, no. We commit it to God that you will be our commander, our leader, the lead person in Israel if you do this for us. So then this dialogue starts to take place. And this is where the change where I see from scripture takes place here. In verse 24, as Jephthah is going back and forth with the king of the Amorites, so as he talks to them back and forth, it comes through in this communication, these letters back and forth. And in verse 24, Judges 11, verse 24, it says this. Let's start at verse 23. Now, since the Lord, the God of Israel, has driven the Amorite out before his people of Israel, what right do you have to take it over? Will you not take what your God, Chemosh, gives you? Likewise, whatever the Lord, our God, has given us, we will possess. And the portion of scripture above that talks about the land. Isn't it interesting, the land of Israel that we still hear about in modern day media? The land. These battles of the Israelites, the Palestinians, the Israelites, and the region around them, of all these people for generations have been battling and battling and battling. And right here, Jephthah, this is where you see his faith all of a sudden go from living for himself, living for this gang-induced violent guy, and all of a sudden he steps up with this faith, and he says, will you not take what your God, Chemosh, gives you? Likewise, he says, whatever the Lord our God has given us, we will possess. He doesn't say, we might try to take it. He doesn't say, well, you know, please, can we have this? Because, no. He comes out in bold, almost not a humble way, but very bold. And he says, God has given us this. It's ours. We will, not we might, or we're going to try, but we will. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. This is where Jephthah, all of a sudden, his faith starts to come out of. It's a God land, and he can go back to Isaac and all the way back to Abraham, and he knows that this land is theirs. And he says, and his faith now cranks up and says, whatever our God has given us, we will possess. Okay. His faith, he could see it. He knew God was true, and his faith now, and he calls that out on that faith. That's the beginning where I see this kind of, this, why I see him now here in Hebrews 11. This faith that he stepped into. Now, I've said before, which I said I heard, not to get off track. Do you know, every time on my notes, I make my fonts bigger, so I wouldn't have to, like they're getting smaller or fuzzier. You know, well, they're more fuzzy, so I have to, anyhow. So his faith starts to kick into gear, because now he's believing and doing what Hebrews 11:1 says we are to, and that is the definition of faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Jephthah didn't see a failure. Jephthah didn't understand that, okay, God said it but isn't going to perform it. He says, I see it. God said it. This is what's going to happen. And if you don't like, guess what? I'm a great warrior and I'm a ruthless guy and I'm coming in and we're going to kill you guys. Because why? Because God has given us this. He comes in with bold force. Now, if God, which I said before, if God looks at, in the language of God, if that's faith, if the language of God is faith, this is a beautiful explanation, shows how this works. Jephthah now steps out in the faith after being excommunicated from his society, after being pushed out of his inheritance, after being cast to the side and looked at about a prostitute's son and all this stuff, and he's living in this town. And then all of a sudden, these people come back to him and they want him back. Okay. And this is starting to take shape. But then he steps up with this faith and says, God, if God has given it to us, it's ours, no questions asked. It's kind of like our salvation, right? Like our salvation, we know it's there. People might not understand salvation in Jesus Christ. But once you understand that Jesus died for you, we confess with our mouth that he is God. He is Lord. Confess our sins, right? Then this, Jesus comes into our life. He makes us clean. It's that faith walk. And the God hears that faith. And the language of God is faith. Jephthah steps out and gives us faith that this is what's going to happen. And it's kind of like, what's going on? And then you see where God works. In verse, I'm going to read this through, I'm going to read 24 through 29. Will you not take what your God Chemosh gives you? Likewise, whatever the Lord our God has given us, we will possess. Period. Done. That's what he says. And are you better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did you ever quarrel with the Israelites or fight with them? For 300 years, Israel occupied Heshbon, Aor, and surrounding settlements, and all the towns along the Arnon. Why didn't you take them during that time? Jephthah said, I have not wronged you, but you are doing me wrong by waging war against me. Let the Lord, the judge, decide, he says. The dispute this day between the Israelites and the Ammonites. The king of Ammon, however, paid no attention to the message Jephthah sent to him. This is where now God speaks back. If the language of God is faith, we see it right here. Verse 29, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Woo. Up until that time, the Spirit of the Lord wasn't on Jephthah. It's scripture right here. But first, Jephthah steps out in this faith, this bold faith that says, guys, I'm wiping you out, and you can go through. I mean, the guy was brutal. They killed thousands of people even after this. And they had these teaching through judges there. They tricked them. Hey, say this word, and if they said it wrong, they knew they weren't who they said they were, and they'd kill them. Guy was brutal. He was a gang leader, MS-13. That's who this guy was, the gang leader. Called out in scripture for his faith. His faith was, he stepped out and said, God said it, we will possess it, I'm not walking back, this is what God said, this is what God says for Israel. And then God sees that. God, you know, and we already know God knew, right? The sovereignty of God, he already knew it was going to take place. But God sees it, and then the Spirit of God comes upon Jephthah. Just like I said with our spiritual life. We come to the Lord, and we cast our sins upon him, ask for our forgiveness, and we get saved. And then the Spirit comes upon us, right? This power of the Spirit that came upon is this same power of the Spirit that can come upon us? Is it the same Spirit? Well, of course it is. It's God's Spirit. It's the Spirit. That's where we need to be taking that same walk of faith. I need to be taking that same walk of faith, knowing that what God says is going to happen. We're going to possess it. God says this, I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to walk that way. I see it, because that's what God said. That's what Jephthah did. Jephthah saw it. He knew what he said, and God saw that, and the Spirit of God came upon Jephthah. Are we living like that? Am I living like that? You know, we roll that to the New Testament, and we're not going to get into the vow that he made. But we roll that to the New Testament. It says the same thing in the New Testament. And are we believing it? We all know the verse. I say it many times. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of the Spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. That same Spirit. And you question, well, killing all those people, was that loving? You know, for us, God gives us a spirit of power, not a spirit of weakness, not a spirit of wimpiness. We need to walk that way. Wimpiness. We need to be sharing our faith. We need to be talking to others. We need to be stepping out across the board like we do with our family, with others, however that may be, and be walking in faith. This faith of Jephthah, we go back and start to look at all the guys that we talked about. And we know that all these people in Hebrews 11, man, they had some serious problems. You know, Samson was on the Epstein list. We have Jephthah, who's a gang leader. We have Rahab, who was a prostitute in Jericho. And all these people are poor. Because why? Because God, their heart changed. They understood who God was. And ramp their faith up to follow that. And that's the language of God, that faith. We step out and we start walking in our faith. And when we get bruised and beat up, because we also know that there's many people who are walking in faith that were cut in two, sawed in half, living in caves, destitute. Scripture tells us that. But they continued to walk. The prophets, and we're going to get into all those people over the next couple weeks. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you that you can use a guy like Jephthah, and this guy who seems pretty brutal from our standing. You know, I'm going to be honest, Lord. I, I can see why the Israelites probably threw him out. I mean, the guy was, it sounds like he was a bad dude, but you changed him. He put his eyes upon you and said, what God says will come true. And that faith he walked in, and it changed his life, and it changed how he served you, and he served the nation of Israel to bring him through that time. And we see his faith called out in Hebrews. And Lord, you give us that for a reason. You tell us that for a reason. The only reason I know is you're telling me, Jeff, you're a sinful guy. You have all sorts of problems. Don't look at somebody else and think you're better than them, because you're not. But walk in faith and love people and share the gospel. Stand and be bold as we're supposed to. That's what you have shown me today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this story. I thank you, and help us to live and walk in that faith, just like this gang leader Jephthah, that many people would think, hey, this guy's a bad guy. He's from the wrong side of the track. We're all from the wrong side of the track. Help us to live for the people on the other side of the track. It wouldn't, no matter what track we're on. Help us to be bold and brave, and not and knowing that you have given us a spirit of power. Help us to walk in faith. In your name I pray. Amen.